Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the show. This is the Ladies of Tea Talk Time, and today is June the 25th. It's a beautiful Saturday, and let me apologize for the delay in time. I know we're 2 minutes behind. However, welcome to the show. And we're just going to do a quick recap of what we talked about last week. And last week we talked about fighting fear. And basically, just to give a brief breakdown of what that was, it was pretty much us talking about how we relate to each other, not just in relationship, but also in the terms of how we communicate with each other, how we understand each other versus when we are at, you know, our relationship at work versus our relationship with people at home or even our significant other, and how we sometimes we bite our tongue more when we're at home. We take better care of how we express ourselves, you know, what we do, versus when we are at home, we don't take that much care and consideration for the people, emotions and feelings and that we're dealing with on a, that intimate level, like your family,
yeah, because,
your friends.
We know we're not going to get fired at work.
Right.
That may be the main difference, but I know sometimes, depending on if you like, you know, I don't care if I keep this job or not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's your livelihood. So you kind of have that little built-in filter, or some of us do, have that built-in filter when it comes to that paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct. We're a lot more reckless with the people that we know that we care and love. Just kind of like, you know, it kind of is how it is, you know. But I really enjoyed last week's show.
Yeah, I think it was good too. And as Dee said, yeah, you know, when this is your livelihood and you're holding out for that paycheck, you're more cautious of what you do and the things you say and how you make people feel. You know, and our takeaway was for us to be that considerate across the board. Doesn't matter who we're dealing with, because words are very powerful. You know, Dee used a famous quote last week, I think, or maybe she just grew up hearing her mom say that, because a lot of us, the things that are in us are influenced by someone else. But I think she made a comment, a saying having to do with, you know, the power of words, I think is how you put it, and how it can follow you throughout your life. Something can be as simple, and you quoted a scripture too about life and death being in the tongue. So you have to be careful. So that was our takeaway, was for people to be considerate across the board of other people's feelings, you know, not and the things we say and the things we do, and not using each other's vulnerability and things like that to attack each other or use it against us later on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was last week's show. And this week we are talking about the alternative to motherhood. And it's an interesting topic for me, because I think I am on the right about the clock there that is going tick, 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 tick in the back of my head every day. But, you know, I try to push it back to the back of my head and close it off, especially when you don't see any prospects on the way. I was having that conversation earlier with Dee. You know, and you don't see any on the horizon and nowhere anytime soon. And you are probably thought to yourself, like, you know, I have, that you never thought that maybe you are going to be a mother in your 40s. Because I'm 35 right now. So, yeah, the clock is ticking. I've never had any kids, never been pregnant. But there are a lot of alternatives that are out there. You choose to do it that way. And if you don't want to wait on the conventional way of doing things, or the traditional way that some of us grew up, where you have one mother, one father, and your kid was biologically conceived the natural way. A lot of career women right now, it has been said that African-American women have been voted the most highly educated woman in the world. So, and this is not just about African-American women, but I'm just saying, using that as an example to say, with that being said, that means a lot of us are more now in the corporate America. We're working, spending more time working our degree or careers and doing all of that stuff. And we kind of put motherhood on the back burner, or we just didn't have any prospects or relationships that didn't work out. And we focused and put our energy in other things in order to make, set up ourselves a certain way to live comfortably and to have a certain lifestyle that we would like to live. So that, you know, that means becoming parents is, the clock is gone up further and further. Some of us have done the alternative measures where I've seen a lot of celebrities have gone that route. And some modern women who can't afford it because it's very expensive, they froze their eggs while they were in their 20s, and some of them while they were in their early 30s when they realized that I have no prospect. I'm focused on my career right now. I am doing this degree, that degree. I'm running and ripping. And I don't see becoming a mother happening anytime soon. So that's what they're doing right now. They're freezing their eggs. That's one alternative. And then using those eggs later on in their 40s or in their late 30s, if they still can't conceive naturally, to become parents with or without a husband too. Some of them are actually using their eggs and just going to sperm banks and using those eggs that they're frozen and becoming pregnant that way. So what are your thought process on all of that information? At the end, I know I just gave a lot of information all at once. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's different alternatives more than that's what's called artificial insemination.
Yes, yes, that's what it is.
You know, there it used to be the alternative before technology got so advanced. The only alternative to having a kid, say for instance, if you didn't even have the time to conceive, regardless if you were in a relationship or not, a lot of times people saw an alternative to having children was not having biological children of their own.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people adopt it as a way to bypass. Some women did that to bypass the troubles or the different changes that, or in order to bypass experiencing the changes that women go through while pregnant. And some women feared, you know, actually giving childbirth. Can you imagine someone being afraid to give childbirth? I can't.
Yeah.
That type of is hard to even explain. I don't even know how, I know how it feels to be pregnant and go through all of the trimesters, but actually going through and bearing a child and being in labor, I have no comprehension of what that feels like. And I feel blessed to have had a cesarean. But with that being said, right now with technology always advancing, there's ways where now they say you can even pick the sex of your child, or the color of their eyes can be somewhat determined.
Not to cut you off, but John Legend and his wife just did that because they did fertility treatments as well. And she picked the color of the baby eyes and the sex of the baby.
And see, that right there is just, that's just beyond me.
Yeah,
but
that's their choice. But to me,
but
I think that's going a step too far.
Right.
I don't mind having the medical assistant if I'm in a position where I can't conceive naturally, and you know something is happening or whatever it is, and you know, that's why God gave us brains and put all these doctors and specialists in the world. I don't mind having the help, but going that far, I think, to me, that's the issue for me with, you know, having to deal with my faith. I think that's plain God, but to each his own, and that was their choice. But they actually picked the sex and the color of their baby eyes.
Yeah.
Baby eye.
That is too, and really no one can play God. I know exactly what you're saying. That is taking it too far. I feel you on that. That is stepping outside of, that's just, to me, that is too far. But, you know, we have all these advancements, these options and choices. I am not surprised that more and more women are looking for alternative because naturally a woman's innate nature, a woman's true nature is to be nurturing.
No, you're correct with how, what you said before. That is correct.
To be completely nurturing is natural for us to want to have children of our own. There are some women that don't have a problem with never having children because that's their choice, and there's some women who want to have children that can't. There's so many different fertility options, and as far as, you know, going back to the topic presented, you know, I say go for it. If you feel that you as a woman can handle what it takes, and if you feel that you are ready to be, for those who want to be single moms and are okay, they just want a baby, it's a lot of work. But if that is the choice, you know, that, you know, most definitely, I think anybody who wants to have a kid should, because there's so many out here who have children that should not.
That's true. It's very true. That's a very accurate statement. And the thing is, the a fun fact for you, the National Center of Health Statistics says, and this, it's a big gap, but in 1970, the average age that a woman would have a child is 21 years old. Roll forward to the 21st century that we're in, it has moved up to 25. That's in 2006. Now move forward into where we are, 2016. It's gone from, it's like 30, anywhere now between 33 now and like 42.
And why do you think? Why do you think that such a, you express somewhat of a 30-year gap, I guess, where the increase was only by 5 years, and then you take a third of that, which has been a 10-year gap from 2006 to 2016, I would say, to be a 10-year difference, a 10-year gap. So I want your take on that. Why do you think, what has happened in 10 years? Women have progressively dominated or are working towards dominating the workforce. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing new. That did not start in 2006. What do you think, or why do you feel that this increase has happened within the past 10 years?
Well, one is to the point that you just made about us dominating the workforce, and to some of the things that I said originally, it's because more women, not just women of color, but Caucasian, all across the board, we have dominated, as you said, corporate America. We are becoming more educated. We're becoming more career-driven, more entrepreneurial-driven. So, and then that kind of limits our prospect. It limits our, you know, our potential partnership. When we think of, you want somebody that is on your level, somebody that is, you are, how would they put it, your ideal match, whether that person, whether you are thinking that you want that person to have a college degree because you have a college degree, whether you want that person to be a homeowner because you are a homeowner, if you want him to make six figures because you're making six figures and above, then our choices become very limited. So therefore, we either put our energy and time into other things, and sometimes the time get away from us, and we don't even know it got away from us so far. And then we find ourselves here, where we're left with thinking about the adoption, becoming foster parents, or doing the fertility treatment options, whether freezing your egg or going to the sperm bank, all of those different things. And I think that is actually what has played a big part in the last 10 years. It's just that we don't have that many choices, and some of us find ourselves preoccupied doing other things while we're waiting.
Okay, so you acknowledge that there hasn't I mean, you acknowledged within the past 10 years, I think some of or most of our readers would agree, women have been dominating and coming into fields, especially with technology here recently. But women have been working their ways up for decades. So the increase may not directly be because of more women in the work field necessarily. You're saying that it may be tied to the fact that we're a little bit more selective now.
Yes.
In addition to our numbers. Okay.
Right. We're a little bit more selective now. I think it's play a more major role than us becoming even more educated. Because women have always been, we have always been multifunctional. You can go all the way back. We've been having kids and been parents, running the house and all of that type of stuff. And yes, sometime back in the day, I guess, for the ones of us that are born even further later, you know, maybe in our 50s or something, you probably grew up in a house where your mom didn't work, or even if she worked, it was part-time. Your dad was the sole breadwinner and stuff like that. But still, she was having children, and she was still doing other stuff. And, you know, whether she was an entrepreneur or whether she was a seamstress, different things, she still worked. She still took care of, and they had a lot of kids. But the thing is, they had a partner. I think that's what made a difference, and they weren't really out there trying to find their ideal match so much like I think what we are doing right now, where the pickings for us, I think, is so limited. Hopefully I'm making sense and I'm not all over the place, but I think that is the biggest thing for a lot of us right now that has happened in the past 10 years, if not longer, I probably can say 15 or 20, is that the choices, you know, because we are wanting a better quality of life than probably what we saw our parents had, our aunts and cousins had, and all of that type of stuff. We know we're putting ourselves in a better position, not just educational-wise, but financially, to live that lifestyle. And we want that partner that also is career-driven like us, that has the same goal, that wants the same things. And it's in doing that and adding those other things to our plate is where I think it becomes difficult for us to find that partnership or to find that love or that common person to say, okay, let's try to see if we could make life, or let's try to see if we can do this together.
Yeah,
so I
okay.
think that's the biggest obstacle that has changed in the past 10 or 20 years.
I would definitely, I didn't think of it that way, but that is, you know, you got a good point there. Back in the day, you know, our parents, they would meet maybe through somebody or right, church, school, grow up, get married, and then, you know, have children. Now we are at a point where our career comes first.
Yes.
You get out of school, you don't get married. You don't necessarily rush to get married. You get out of school, then you go to college, or you get into the workforce. Then you start finding who you are, get your own identity. Then you start accumulating things, and then all of a sudden you decide, okay, well, I want somebody that likes the same type of things that I like.
Yes.
You know, that I feel that's on my level, as most people like to say. But, okay, that I completely, because I was just thinking, I was like, you know, yeah, we can go and say women are in the workforce now, but women has been for decades breaking prior, I wouldn't even say records, but women that are now holding higher level roles, I can't even speak this morning. You guys could tell I haven't had breakfast yet. But women are now seeking and obtaining more higher paid and higher level jobs, you know, than ever before. And that's been a trend that has been going on for decades. But you're right. We get our mind starts to shift and say, you know what, I want to somebody that can work just as hard as I am, and I'm career-driven, and I'm, you know, So I get that. I completely get that. Now I know Stacy has done a lot of research on this. Stacy, how much could one spend? Say, for instance, I'm out here. I do want to have a kid. I'm not waiting on Mr. Right, and I'm definitely not going to have a kid with Mr. Wrong. I don't even want the headache. So, what steps could a person in that position take if they are interested, just interested, in potentially going an alternative route in order to conceive?
Great question, Dee, and I'm glad you asked. But we have a caller that really wants to chime in, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute them and let them chime in because they may have to run, and then I'll answer that question. Okay, give me 1 second. Okay, caller of 3562, you are on mute. You are free to go and give your take on the topic.
Yay! Hey, this is Kimberly. Hi, ladies. I
Hello.
absolutely love this topic. I am 42 this year and I don't have children, never been pregnant. And at 35, I made an executive decision to close the factory completely, so to speak. But I think this shift that you guys are talking about, I agree 100% with both perspectives. But I also think we have to get the fact that expectations have changed. Are now
True.
expected to finish high school, to go to college, get into the workforce, and see things, have a life. You hear parents always tell their daughters, go travel, go see something, and then come back. Well, that is happening. And so I don't think the shift is always a conscious decision that I'm not going to have children until this or until that. I think society has dictated a shift. And so some women are not even looking at motherhood in any of those areas at all. Not necessarily that they just want to finish their career or they want to get to a certain level with a man. It's just sometimes that's on the back burner and children aren't even a part of our everyday thought process. Like it wasn't for me.
Right. Yeah, like that's what one of the things I was saying, Kim, is like a lot of us didn't even plan it. I can say I didn't plan it. I certainly didn't.
Yeah, I
I just
didn't.
woke up one day and I'm 35
And
and I was like,
two
oh my
or
God,
not
wait a
to
minute.
have children. Yeah, it just happened. Or
Yeah, you were busy doing other things, going to school, traveling, trying to figure out who you are. And somewhere along the way, yeah, you probably had a relationship, but nobody that was your ideal mate or match or whatever. And then the next thing you know, you're 35 or you're 41 or 42, and it
right.
didn't happen.
That's
So
exactly it. And you know what
life
I
just.
would like to say, if for anyone who's listening, there people can be very cruel in their comments about women who don't have children. I have had people tell me that I don't have children because I'm selfish. I've had men ask me, "Well, what's wrong with you? Like physically,
What's
what's
wrong with
wrong with
you?
you? Why can't you
Yes.
have them?"
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah,
and
I've
I
been
think
asked
some
those questions
dialogue has
too.
to happen. It's that we've made the expectation that we don't want a bunch of single mothers and young mothers with children, so we don't want people to have to be on welfare. So for a while, that was the message. But then now there's a contradicting message that if you don't have children by a certain age, then there is something wrong.
Yes, very much so. And I've been asked those questions myself, not just by men, but even by women. What is wrong? Blatantly, one lady, she was like, cold. I think I was only 31 at the time. And she goes, and you don't have any kids? And I'm like, no. And then she go, what is wrong? And I said, well, the last time I checked, nothing. But life just kind of happened. And I really do prefer to have them with a husband. I really do. That's my personal preference. I don't really
Right.
want just a baby daddy, and I just don't want a kid just to have a kid. Because
Right.
even though I am adopted, my siblings that you see, unless I tell people, nobody knows. These are not my biological siblings, but I've been with them since I've been 4 years old. So I know what it is to have that longingness of that real connection with your biological parent that brought you here. So for that, I, from a long time, I knew for myself, I didn't want to put my child in that position, and I didn't want to, for my child to feel the way that I felt a lot of the time throughout my life. Like on Mother's Day or Father's Day, it's I cry every year. I'll admit it publicly. Every year, it never fails. I still cry as an adult because it's that longingness that I never knew, and I'm still trying to figure it out. So that it's still there. It lingers. So I made that choice for myself a long time ago. So I had to explain all of that to her that, listen, nothing is wrong. I just, it hasn't happened, and I haven't, and I really don't want just a kid with anybody. And that's it. That's it, lady. Nothing is wrong with me, physically, as long as I know.
And you know, me coming from being married and having a kid, you can never, the idea is, okay, I got a husband. You know, this is forever. You never really know,
yes.
You know. However, I will say a lot of times when people suggest, because most of my friends don't have children, and when people suggest that there's something wrong with you, a lot of times when it comes from your peers, when it comes from your elders, it's them not understanding our era. But when it comes
right.
from your peers, is this hint of jealousy, in my opinion. Because for a certain part of us that are willing to admit, especially single parents, you do miss the freedom that is associated with not having children. Not saying that you don't love the fact that you're a mom or a dad, but there is a little bit of resentment that some people do hold towards those who don't have children. They're able to hop up and get up and say, you know what, next week I think I want to go to Miami. Well, you don't have to say, well, dang, what does my checkbook look like and who's going to watch the kids while I go and are they going to be okay while I'm gone and I'm going to feel bad because I'm gone for a whole week. Well, you guys can go for a whole week and we're thinking, shoot, after 3 days I need to get back because they probably done burnt grandma's house down. So a lot of times that comes from a sense of if it's your peers, it could be a hint of, even they may not even be aware of it, maybe a hint of a little bit of resentment, you know. And on the flip side, I have a really good friend of mine who, she is actually pregnant. She's 36, and she's pregnant right now with her first child. But she had an air, and I don't think she's aware of it, but she has an air of superiority a little bit towards people who have children while she's in the dating field. Not necessarily I'm better than you, Dee, because you have kids. She's a sweetheart. That's not really how she feels. But when it comes to suitors and she's dating, she feels, you know, I'm a better catch because I don't have any children. I ain't even going to lie. I would probably feel the same way. You know, I don't have the hang up of having 3 or 4 kids. So that's an asset for me being a single woman without any kids while I'm dating in the dating field. A lot of times some men prefer you not to have kids. They prefer it that way. But a lot of times, like I said, I'll just go back for anybody that's willing to admit it may be a hint of resentment if it's coming from your peers. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I wish, as much as I love my child, I wish that maybe I would love to have her. Her dad is phenomenal, but things aren't always the way we have it planned out, and I'm glad that what came from that union between me and her dad was my beautiful daughter. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I've been around where people have said to family members, Chad, what you waiting on? What's wrong with you? But the moment you show up pregnant with no man,
yeah, then I start to roll. Ooh. Oh, she done
girl.
Got, and then the talk start. I know what you're saying, Dee.
Exactly.
Trust me. And as I said, Dee, for me, I just wanted the opportunity to try to do it right. Not saying that me trying to do it right is going to work out forever, because nothing is forever and life is unpredictable and you never know what tomorrow holds. But I wanted the opportunity to at least try to do it right. You know, that's
right.
For my personal choice. You know, but yeah, you know, like Kim was saying, and thank you very much, Kim, for chiming in and for taking the time out of your busy schedule to call
in. Thank you.
She had to run. I get the questions too. Like she was saying, people ask me, especially every time men roll their eyes and it was like, ooh, nobody's never tried to get you pregnant. I mean, what's wrong with you? I
look, there's
you.
No control.
Yes.
Like, there's no birth.
Yes.
Look,
yes.
I'm very careful. You know what I'm saying?
They start to make it look like it's not only physically now, psychologically. You must
right.
be crazy. Yeah, because, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wait a minute. This is 2016. We're all adults here, or we're living in the 21st century. I have a choice in what happens to my body and when what happened and when what doesn't happen. You know, yes, I do know accident happened, but believe me, I don't think in 2016 accidents should be happening. Seriously.
Right.
It's crazy. But anyways, you know, you had asked a question earlier about what is the alternative for women that may be listening or for women that you know, or focusing on their career, they're focusing on their entrepreneurial endeavors and other things, and, you know, there's no prospects, there's no match or whatever ideal candidates out there for them right now, so they're just busy on their grind. One of the most common one, it is a procedure that is very expensive. It's where you have your eggs frozen. If you're young, say in your 20s, and you are ovulating normally like you're supposed to and you don't have any fertility issues, then what they do is extract your eggs. And they freeze those eggs. And you can use those eggs later on say in your 40s or late 30s or whenever you choose to use those eggs, if you're having a problem getting pregnant naturally, you can use those eggs in order to conceive. They will just take them out of the freezer, as they say, and they will, insert them, and then you and your husband or partner or whatever will be able to conceive or try to conceive using those eggs, and you stand a better chance using your younger eggs versus your older eggs, which I'm sure everybody knows that. So that's one of the procedures that they have out there right now. It's a procedure that costs like about $10,000. There are some companies' insurance policy that covers it. So a lot of women are looking into it. As I said, Halle Berry did it. Tamar Braxton did it. Who else did it? Tyra Banks did it. A lot of celebrities have done it. And, yes, they probably can afford it because, as I said, it's an expensive procedure. It's very expensive, but there are some women who financially are doing very well that has also invested in that procedure. My cousin right now, who's in her final year of our OBGYN, she actually was, you know, telling me she may be, because she turns 30 next month, she doesn't see any prospects. You know, she spent most of her life in school becoming a doctor, and she's considering it herself, and she's saying quite a few of them on residency right now in the hospital with her have done it because they're looking like, okay, we're in our 30s now, we're approaching 30, we spend all this time building our career and doing all of this, we don't see no husbands, you know, and especially for them that are in the medical field and that's their specialty, the women reproductive system, and know what goes on and what can happen and the likelihood of, you know, they say the likelihood of things going wrong the longer you wait to try to have kids, whether it's the health risk of high blood pressure, you know, hemorrhaging, miscarriage, all those different things that can happen the longer you wait, and the chances of you actually having a successful pregnancy full term, you know, the risk is very high. The risk gets higher the older you get. So even, you know, having the conversation with her when I thought about this whole thing, she was telling me, yeah, something that she's considering herself, you know, if nothing doesn't start, she doesn't see anything developing anywhere in about another year or two, it's something that she's going to consider because few of the people she knows at the hospital have already done it, so the ones that are not married. So hopefully that answers your question, Dee, but that's one of the options that are there. The other option is going to the sperm bank and actually getting yourself artificially inseminated with a donor sperm. The thing about that is this person is miscellaneous to you. This is the disadvantage. You don't know their health issues. nor do you know their family DNA or nothing like that. You know absolutely nothing about this person. The only information that they will share with you from this person is their educational background and if they have any criminal background. And basically,
no health? Did I miss something?
Well, in health in terms of that they don't have any STDs, but you don't know if the person
doesn't
have any psychological
information.
Right. Yeah, you don't have that data is not available to you, nor do you know if it runs in their family because they do not go that deep at the sperm bank. Anybody
damn
can go and
HIPAA.
Turn those sperms.
It's that damn HIPAA. But, no, I need to know if you have a background or a past history within your family of any neurological issue,
psychological problem. Well,
I need to know
it's
that.
It's a risk. It's a risk. It's a risk for doing it that way.
10,000?
You don't know. You don't
yeah,
know.
I'm good with coming back with a receipt. I'm
you,
so,
you
I promise
know.
You.
You don't, and the only thing that the only information you will get is this the person educational and criminal because those are the only thing they require
that's
and only some
record.
States that's only some state that requires it because you don't know the person's name, you don't know any of those things, you just all you know is their height. Like say you prefer I want a donor that is 6'1" because you want your kid to be tall. The only thing you will know is their ethnic background, whether they're black, Caucasian, white, that type of stuff. And the color eyes, you know, you can,
okay.
Those questions you can get. But in terms of their, you know, deep medical history, it was grandmama cray cray, was grandpa cray cray, no, you're not getting any of that. I promise you guys, you can do your own research. You will not get any of those information. The only thing they will disclose is whether you want a Harvard professor or you want a blue-eyed, a brown-eyed, 6 feet, those things they will tell you. You can ask those questions.
I wonder if I'm a donor, as if, you know, a male, if I'm as a male donor, let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you dictate who gets your sperm?
No.
Do you know
that?
Cannot.
No. That's why I was saying to you, if you saw that big article that BuzzFeed published this week, he's now meeting some of the children for the very first time. He has almost 100 children out there.
But
and
you can't dictate, I don't want an African-American
service.
Kid.
No, it's a service. You're paying, they're paying you for the donation
okay.
of your sperm.
You're
volunteering, so you have no say in what happens after that. And this guy, he lives in New York. He's a doctor right now. But this is how he paid his way through college, by donating his sperm and also keeping food on his plate. You know, apart from, you know, busing, washing dishes and all of those other things, this was another thing that he did. He'd go to the sperm bank and donate it and just, you know, in a cup and that's it. Now, these kids later on are trying to find their parents, and with technology and everything, you know, the parents were honest with some of these kids. Well, mommy kind of took a trip to the sperm bank. So, you know, with technology, and they publish an article
okay.
with a picture with the mothers and the kids, and it's mothers from all different ethnic backgrounds. Some of them are black, some are Chinese, some are white. So he has a whole rainbow of kids. And he was there taking pictures with them. And even there's a movie coming out like that. Or was it this year the comedy came out, or was it last year? A movie came out of this. And here we go. Somebody's true life story is a true depiction of this movie that is out, where this lady is about to marry a cardiologist too. And only for all of these children to pop up. And she is, like, trying to figure out if she still wants to marry this man that has 60-something children out there. It was in the theater. I can't remember if it was last year or if it's supposed to come out this year.
I'm
anyway.
Trying to figure if that's you. I know this is a little bit off, but if that – think of ladies and men. How would you – men already freak out when they have their first kid. Excited, most are excited. But can you imagine you going through your day? Say, for instance, you're in your mid-30s, early, shoot, you may even be in your mid to late 40s. You've been married for about 10, 12 years. you come to find out you got 12 kids out there.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
People are not, they're not talking about what they did in college to get extra money. They
yeah.
did that. They was 19. They probably forgot about it, moved on with life, maybe thought about it throughout maybe a couple of years. Go on with life, go to college, finish college, have children of their own, start a career, start a business, get divorced, get married again, you know the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out somebody's in your inbox on LinkedIn.
Or Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, like, hey.
Instagram in your DM.
Or your wife is like, you need to come home. You come home and you're that man. Men hate that dreaded, we need to talk. And there's a letter there from someone 300 miles away. You know, that's just a little bit much. But as a woman, I just wonder, would you stay? I mean, at that point, you know, if that's, would you stay? If
in the scenario that you just gave,
well, I wouldn't even say stay. Let me change it, because if you're married, there's really nothing
yeah,
to get
that's
divorced over. It's
in
not
that
like
case,
he cheated.
Yeah, in that case, I would stay. I mean, if you said 12, it's almost, it's 12 years and kids and life together. It's not like he cheated on me, but, you know, you just failed to mention that while you were going through college and you needed some money to buy your pizza that week, you took a trip to the sperm bank.
I'm trying. Would
sorry,
you?
Excuse me, guys. Not
but would you,
Stacey?
Would you
if
go on
like
with
this,
the marriage?
Like this, actually, dear, I think I probably would, because if it's that long if that's long time in the marriage, at this point, I probably would be angry with him and upset that all these children are knocking at our door right now. But, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, it's not like he cheated on me. And like I was saying, that comedy, I'm going to have to find it. If it's already out, I found it and try to tell you to pick it up at a red box. But it was being previewed on TV. And her struggle was because all her family members and friends told her not to marry him. As I said, she was an aunt, an oncologist. They live in New York. And the same situation about this article with this gentleman here, and you guys can look it up at BuzzFeed.com. It's there. It came out just a couple of days ago. It's the same thing that happened. While he was in medical school, he donated his sperm, and now he has a bunch of kids out there, and, you know, that and with women of all different ethnic backgrounds. So, honestly, Dee, if it's a situation where we're engaged, like this comedy movie I was telling you about, I think I'll be in the same position she's in. I'm not sure if I would move or go on with the wedding. I don't know. That's a lot. I really don't know. But if it's where I'm already in a marriage, like the first situation picture you painted, this is 12 years in, we have life together, kids, house, property, all of that, then I would have to stay, then yeah, I would stay.
When you don't know, and both of you guys are blind and don't know, and you're going into a situation, it's like, wow, I have a choice. You know, why would I divorce this man after all these years? Versus, do I really want to deal with this? I wonder. Also, there's some type of form, I'm assuming, that signed that releases the donor from any financial obligations?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you ain't coming for us on child support.
No, they can't, because those women that choose to go that route understands that. Because, as I said, they're not even given the person's name. Only if they choose to divulge the information to their children that this is the sperm bank that they went through, that they will, because they keep a record of what the sperm that they use. So if later on the child comes back and say, my mom was here 20 years ago, and she, you know, got pregnant, and my name is this, and this is my mom's name, they're able to tie the name, your mother's name, identification with the sperm that they used on her. And then the sperm bank is the person who contact the donor and let him know that this person is looking for you, and then he has to make a choice of whether or not he wants to get in contact with the child. So that's how it works. So, yeah, so you typically, if the parent, if the mother let the child know if they're asking questions later on, then the sperm bank is, they have to contact the sperm bank, and the sperm bank contact the donor, and then the donor have to decide if he wants to have the children know of his whereabouts or where he is or who he is. So that's how it works.
And that's kind of scary because you really don't know this person, you know?
Yeah, you don't know. Other than, I said, the basic medical questions or whatever you get, because they do make sure they test them for, you know, disease and stuff like that, you know, STDs. Other than that type of test, and I think some of them, they do criminal background checks and stuff like that. Now, other than that, you don't, and not all of them do the criminal background checks either. Some of them just do the regular STD checks. Other than that, you know nothing about this individual, you know. And when you go there to get artificially inseminated, yeah, you have the pleasure of picking the career choice, your child's, you know, father's height, color, eyes, built. Yeah, you can do all of that because, you know, of course they take all of that data down, you know, what's your career field, color of your eyes, how tall are you, those type of things. So if you want a specific type of baby, you know, a biracial or a, you know, child that looks more, you know, exotic, Middle Eastern, whatnot, you can ask the ethnicity of the donor. But other than that, as I said, it's like Russian roulette. You don't know what you're getting, really. You know, you don't know. As I was saying, you know, you don't know what grandmama was cray-cray, if there's high blood pressure, if there's a history of cancer. You don't know any of those things.
So when you go into the doctor, I know I'm just thinking too deep into this, but sometimes that's just what I do. So, you know, I conceive this way. Of course, the doctor knows, the OBGYN knows, of course, the history and the background. It's kind of hard as your child grows up when you have no information on the other chromosome, the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does the child have parent or father have any history of, like you said, high blood pressure, liver disease, cancer, stroke,
mental or physical abuse?
You know,
Well, that is the downside of you choosing to be artificially inseminated by going to a sperm bank. That is the downside. That's the disadvantage. Now, you know, as I said, for women that are listening, you know, what we're talking about is the alternative to motherhood. Just, you know, in case life is happening and the expectations of society and all of that has changed, and you just lost track of time. You have no prospect. You're busy working, career, you know, degrees, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, and time is running out. What we're currently discussing, if you're just not catching the show at this point, is the disadvantage of going through the sperm bank. This is the disadvantage. You also have the other option of adoption. You can also become a foster parent, you know, and fostering is permanent. It's temporary. This is when you have the kids within your home and you are parenting until they find a permanent house for these children. And that, too, can also give you a better understanding of what it means to be a parent, because being a parent is one of the most difficult jobs, I think. And it teaches you how to manage your time. Well, some of us, because some of us still don't know, even though we're a parent, but for the most part, for the best ones out there, let's say the 75%, it teaches you time management. It teaches you to be goal-oriented. It teaches you to be selfless, you know, to be more sacrificial. All of those things is a part of being a parent, because you're no longer thinking about you. You're no longer thinking about your needs and your wants. And as Dee was saying, yes, you are restricted sometimes, you know, especially if it's during the school year, where you can't just hop a plane, go everywhere, or just go somewhere for a weekend with your girlfriends because you have a responsibility. So being a foster parent, I think for the women that are listening, as some of the alternative, that is a good way for you to test it out, test the waters, and see is being a mother really, because I don't think everybody's cut out to be a mother. I really don't. Not everybody, I think, have the ability to be that nurturing or to be that selfless. I really don't think everybody should be parents. So this is a good way for you to test out whether or not you really want to be a parent, if you have what it takes to be a parent. And yes, in being a foster parent, there's a lot of steps that goes into it because you have to fill out the application. They conduct an intensive background check. They dig into your finance. They do a lot of things to make sure, you know, you're qualified for this. But that's another option. That's another option. And of course, adoption is another option. And also we talked about the fertility option where you can have your eggs frozen, where you have your eggs extracted from your body. Some women may need to take hormones if you don't have a regular cycle like a normal person, which is a 21 days or a 28 day cycle, then sometimes they may need to give you hormone shots to get your body to regulate better so you can they can extract your eggs for that procedure, and that one is very expensive to do, and then you can use them later on if you choose to. So, you know, so those are some of the choices that you have as it is right now. So that's pretty much it, Dee. So, yeah, you can, you know, I said test out the waters, do the foster parenting, and see if it really is, if you have what it takes. Because, you know, or babysit for your friends sometimes. You know, tell them, you know, I'll watch the kids this weekend. You guys have date nights with your husbands or partners or whatever it is, and I'll watch the baby this weekend and I'll do this, you know, whether your other siblings have kids, your cousins, niece and nephews, whatever it is, and see if it really is for you. Because like Kim said, she made a conscious and executive decision for herself at 35.
Now, in all fairness, you know, we're talking about women that are in their 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
We've babysat before. We've had children, our friends' children, hopefully, or a sibling, a child, a niece or nephew. But I would beg to a little bit differ about, you know, someone maybe spending the night for a couple of nights or keeping the kid for a couple of weeks, because you do get to send them home. However, your idea and suggestion is genius, because I never thought about actually going through the process of being a foster parent, because at that point you become solely responsible.
Yes.
For that child. You may keep a cousin for a young cousin or a niece or nephew for 2 weeks while, you know, the parents are out of town. But at the end of the day, when you're signing that paperwork, if something happens, you're not the parent or guardian.
Mm-hmm.
When you become that legal parent or guardian, that person that is completely responsible for that child's well-being, things completely change. Your life is on the line. If something happens, if that child damages your neighbor's yard or fence or window, that's coming out of your pocket.
Yeah.
You can't call their mom, wait till your mom get here. No, you are mom. You know, so I think that's a very ingenious suggestion that people definitely should take. And this is for even if you have a boyfriend or a husband and you're thinking about having kids, you know, and you're on the fence about it. Let me at least say that if you're on the fence about it, that might be something to check into. You might be like, you know, these kids too damn expensive, because they are. You know, I thought my daughter is 14. I thought, man, I can't wait till this kid get out of diapers. Diapers are expensive, and my child was lactose intolerant. We couldn't get the regular milk.
Mm-hmm.
I breastfeed, but then she goes in. So
So we couldn't just, she wasn't, it was,
the
it was,
milk wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough, you know, so it was that expensive Similac, not the, back then it was $14 a can. That was 14 years ago. Yeah, or maybe it was $20. I can't remember, but it was expensive. Oh, I can't wait. Well, now she's in the sport. So they grow up. They grow out of diapers, and they grow up, and they sign up to do stuff that costs you more money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drill team, I'll just say this. I'm on my soapbox. She said, oh, Mama wanted to sign up for drill team. Okay, great. She's already in track, basketball, softball this year, and another sport, volleyball. Oh, go ahead, sign up for drill team. Hopefully you make it. Okay, I made the team. Great. $250 for camp. And I got to get what?
What?
So understand this. Try them kids out. Because you'll think, you know, that little 3 year, 4, 5, 6 years, then they'll be in school. You ain't paying daycare no more. No, they cost because they grow up and they decide they want to do things that cost you money.
You know, Dee, I'm laughing listening to you because you sound like David Banner. David Banner, I don't know if you have ever listened to him. I love him as a public speaker, you know, and his Pan-Africanism and all of that type of stuff. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I take my hat off to him. However, he wants 7 children. But then the other day I was listening to an interview, and he said he changed his mind about the 7 kids because his sister – he gave her and her husband a break, you know, and sent them on vacation for a week, and he had his 2 nieces. And he said after that week, he was like, he think he cut the 7 down to probably about 2. Because you're having to, you know, when they get, you have to have a whole routine for them, you know, you have to have planned activities. And he said, man, and picking them up after school and making sure you have things for them to do, getting their uniform ready, because this one, and, you know, and he was like, I never knew my sister worked this hard. You have to get this one ready for soccer, this one for this one for that. You're ripping and running. And he was like, man, he cut that 7 down to about 2.
Real quick.
So that's why I'm saying, even that, I've heard people say that too, that has always wanted a big family. You know, just they probably babysit for a week or something like that and realize that, you know, how expensive this is on the time. They're like, okay, I think we're just going to do about 1. And that's what has even happened now, too, in the society we live in. You remember back in the day when you look at our parents and aunts and whatnot, they have 6 and more children. You notice our generation, you're lucky if you see them with 3. It's always 1 or 2, and it stops right there. Because after 1 or 2, they're like, they're expensive. It's, you know, sacrificial, time-consuming. It's a lot of work and devotion. Being a parent is not easy. So they cut that number down. It's not back in the day where the village raised the kids and, you know, grandpa lived down the street, aunt may live around the corner, and you can drop them off and not worry about them being adopted and all of that type of stuff. We live in a different society now. So they have even cut down the number of kids that they're having because we don't have the same, you know, it takes a village to raise a kid concept anymore. We don't, not in our era, we don't have that. So our generation now is, and the generation below us, you know, our millennials, they're down to 1. Now, our generation, which I'll call us, what would you call us? In our 30s. I don't even know what you call us, but we are like 2 and we're done. The millennials, they're like 1 and they're done. That's it, because it's not, you know, you live in another state, grandma live in another, it's not like what it used to be for our parents' days. Grandma live 1-2 blocks house down. Or
And now
or
grandma got
over.
A life. Like,
and now grandma got a life too.
Grandma,
it's not like back in the day where grandma was sitting at home. Grandma's
right.
Going on cruises now.
Grandma is going exactly on cruises.
And that baby
she
girl comes
to
you too. No, I'm traveling. I raised my babies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hear now. How long do you, now when you call grandma, pick up the phone, grandma's asking, how long are they staying?
When
you
coming you
know?
Back?
When you, how long you plan on leaving this kid here? It's not like, oh, bring the baby. No, grandma wants to know how long before she give a yes, or grandpa, before they give a yes, how long you planning leaving these kids here?
I need to know.
I need to know because I got a cruise to go on. I need to go play bridge. I'm going to play golf. You know, they have a life too now. So it as there's a lot of things, you know, as we said, you know, as we're wrapping up and coming to a close, a lot of things that's happened over the years, in the past 20 years, that has changed the way we're becoming mothers now, the different options that we have into motherhood if we are not doing it the conventional and traditional ways. There's a lot of alternatives out there. So I encourage the women that are listening and even the men that are listening to explore the options, the internet, Google, whatever search engine you choose to use, Yahoo, the internet is your friend. We live in the best time of our life where we have all these information at our fingertips. So do your research, see what works for you or what is a best option or alternative and what you can afford, you know, but there are options, there are alternatives. Adoption, fertility, getting your egg frozen, you know, the sperm bank, all of those things, foster parenting, that's an alternative if you want to really see if you have what it takes to be a parent or if it's right for you, because I do believe not everybody should be a parent or is cut out to be parents. I would prefer some of them not to be parents. But, yeah, those are the alternatives and that are out there. So, you know, see what works for you and then make a decision from there. Yeah. And hopefully it's the best decision for you and one that you can live with for the rest of your life, because this is not a fairy tale. You're not dropping these kids off somewhere else or you return them back or say, can I get a refund? No, this is not a no refund situation. It's a permanent decision that you're making that is going to impact your life as long as you are living. So make sure it's the best choice for you and one that you can live with.
Right.
And that's my two cents.
Couldn't have said it any better myself.
So that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. Again, thank you to Kim for taking the time out to call in and to give her thoughts and opinion. Very, very interesting thought and perspective that she had as well. And thank you to my beautiful co-host, Dee Moore, as well for joining me this morning in the conversation. And thank you guys for joining us in the conversation. And that is the end of our show, the Ladies of Tea Talk Time. And we're here every Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, unless something happens and we have to change the time. But we always create a event of our show every single week. So we do give you guys ample notice and time to adjust your schedule. But we're here typically for the most part every Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Follow us on social media. All our social media tags are the same. It's Tea Talk Time right across the board, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and our website, which is www.teatalktime.com. And that's it. Dee, do you have anything else to say before we head on out?
No, that's pretty much it. Everybody have a great, great weekend, and we will see you next time. We're here for you.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.